This is episode 202, recorded December 5th, 2014. Packard pokes at. The show needs more cow tongue. I want to thank C. Walker from the chat room for this week's show title.
You can help support and promote the show by purchasing our merchandise at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt, where you can choose from a variety of different items like hoodies, hats, and bears. Oh my! Put a Packard Pokes At mug in your hands today.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and uncrashable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us for the night from the far East Coast is Joe. I'm the driver, unseen.
What do you hear, Starbuck? Nothing but the rain. So grab your guns and bring in the cat.
And joining us from the far West Coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
I'll never grow up, and I'll never watch Peter Pan on TV again. Oh, my God.
That was so bad.
Yes.
Like 5 minutes into it, I turned to my wife, and I'm like, why does it suck? Why is it so bad? And she's like, what? It's Peter Pan. I'm like, yeah, but Christopher Walken's, like, sleeping.
But his eyebrows are so Desmond. From, you know,
what was that?
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
It said that it was a three-hour-long, it was the worst three-hour-long drag show ever.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, well, we got a lot of great stories for you tonight, so let's go on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Everybody has DNA. Everything that's alive or is biological has DNA, and the people over at MIT are working to try to kill it, but for a good reason. Because recently they've taken a spaceship, or a space shuttle or something like that, and a rocket, and they flew it into outer space, not just because, you know, we can do that, but they put DNA in the cracks and crevices of this particular rocket so they could see how well it survived reentry. And it was amazing that it was actually able to do that. In fact, some of the DNA that they used was E. coli. And not only did it just survive, when they applied it to antibacterial stuff to it to see if it could kill it, it figured out how to beat the antibacterial stuff. So in the next generation of the E. coli, it became antibacterial proof. Now, this is a new study, and it's amazing. The fact is that if it could survive those kind of temperatures, which is approximately 128 degrees Celsius, 128.3 degrees Celsius, temperatures at 115.4 degrees Celsius during liftoff and 128.3 during the reentry. So that's pretty hot stuff.
For us here in America, water boils at 100 degrees Celsius because we don't understand it.
Yeah, for us Americans who understand a Celsius, this ain't Celsius. This, you know, that's Celsius. But
anyway, sorry.
Yes. I was going to get the Fahrenheit. I was going to have it written down here, but I forgot to get that down there. But but the amazing thing is, with every piece of DNA they've sent out, they've had DNA where it's come back and it did not survive. Spores and certain fungi did not survive. However, the fact is that some did is encouraging, to the point that early meteors may have hit the atmosphere and had DNA or some kind of biological organism on there, and it could have been from a neighboring planet, who knows, or just been out in outer space with this biological stuff on there, and it happened to hit our planet. Joe, your thoughts?
So what you're telling me is a bunch of German scientists smeared their DNA on their equipment? Because that's what
Joe, you looked at the wrong video, Joe. That's the porno. That's a different.
It wasn't a porno. There were scientists. They were wearing lab coats. They kept calling it a sprocket.
Again, Joe, that was the porn. You know, they had
check this. Pornhub. Yep.
Yeah.
You're right. You're yep. absolutely. I watched the wrong video.
Yep. I kind of thought so because I seen that one too. Very hot.
You sent it to me.
I know. What do you think I said? What do you think I sent it to you?
Well, you are the master race.
Like you mentioned, this suggests the possibility that DNA can survive entry into the atmosphere aboard something like a meteor or a comet. It doesn't prove anything definitely, you know, it just shows that, you know, they put the stuff on the rocket, they mm-hmm. sent it up, it came back, and it managed to live. This kind of reminds me of something I like to read about lately is tardigrades.
Mm-hmm.
The little water bears that live in moss and stuff.
Oh, I thought, like, you said tartar sauce. I love that on fish.
Oh, yeah, no. Back to the German scientists again.
Okay.
Anyway, recently read that they sent some tardigrades up into space, and they're like the little tiny, almost microscopic animals that live in moss.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
They okay. they sent them up into space and exposed them to outer space, exposed them to the vacuum of space, low Earth orbit, mm-hmm. and then resealed the container and brought them back. And they're like, all right, how'd they fare? Did any of them live? Not only did they live, but they got it on and laid eggs.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, life is
wow,
tough.
Wow.
Life is, you know, life is rocking. Like, you know, I'm not surprised that some of this DNA managed to make it through reentry.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, they said they were smearing into, like, the cracks and crevices and the screw heads and all that on the rocket. So, yeah, buried.
Sorry.
Connie, shame on you. But buried in the cracks and crevices of the metal of the rocket, yeah, I could see it making it through, you know, coming back through the atmosphere. I mean, it's not like, I couldn't imagine it going through, like, what the heat shield of the shuttle went through. I mean, that's,
oh, yeah.
Like,
even,
that's, like, severely massive, you know, extreme temperatures, you know.
Actually, they said in the article here that even after the spacecraft, the shuttle that after broke up, there were still bacteria that survived on reentry and disintegration and impact of the space shuttle Columbia. So bacteria can survive even on that. I mean, so yeah. The possibility of us...
How resilient life is.
Yes, exactly. Because of that, that's why when we send rockets with satellites and whatever to other planets, that's why we make sure we sterilize the shit out of that stuff before it leaves, so because we don't want to contaminate other worlds with our stuff, and they'll think, hey, look, we found human life. Oh, wait a minute, that's us.
Right. The one of the Apollo missions, I think it was Apollo 14,
mm-hmm.
Or it was either 14 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 12, actually. They landed on the surface of the moon, and they found a Surveyor spacecraft that had landed prior to the Apollo missions,
mm-hmm.
and they
mm-hmm.
cut the camera off of it, and they brought the camera back. They wanted to see how the camera survived on the surface of the moon under those extreme conditions. And when they cracked it open back on Earth, they realized there was all this bacteria living in it. That was inconclusive. They were like, well, was it the bacteria living on the surface of the moon inside the camera, or did it get contaminated coming back? They weren't sure.
Right.
So, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
Yeah, and you know, that the thing is, though, when they said that when they bring satellites or whatever back, they splash down or land, they thoroughly clean that stuff so it doesn't contaminate, you know, the rest of the planet, so we don't like have alien DNA. However, I was thinking about that. What about the rocket that went up to space, and then we or any rocket they've sent out into space and or to the moon, for example, they come back and they land in the ocean. And the ocean is just a big petri dish right there, you know.
Did you just say alien DNA?
Yeah, they said that's what it says here, that alien DNA or alien organisms or whatever. They actually clean off whatever is that comes back, so...
Have they ever found alien DNA?
I don't know. It says here that returning spacecraft are routinely cleaned to protect Earth against the possibility of accidental contact.
Possibility. Okay.
Yeah, the possibility right. of contact with
say,
alien
like,
microbes.
Wait a minute here.
Yeah, alien. I said alien DNA, alien microbes. You know, anything that's foreign to the to
right.
us.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is, if they landed in the ocean like they did, you know, hey, that is that's a fucking petri dish right there. How do we know they didn't bring something back?
Yeah, but nothing has ever been brought back from space.
That we know of.
Microbe.
Not that we know of. Or
I mean,
the government has told us.
If things could survive reentry and the Earth gets hit by rocks all the time, then
yeah,
you know, it doesn't matter. Like, we could not have a space program and still face that danger.
Ah, that's true. That's true. Connie, your thoughts?
You guys have covered so much of it, but yeah, in earlier experiments, bacteria and fungi did not survive after being embedded in rock samples mounted on the outside of a capsule and shot into space.
Right.
But there was something about taking the plasmid DNA and wrapping it around like the heads of screws on the outside of the shuttle or the rocket. Sorry, the rocket.
Yep.
And I went ahead and I looked up, well, what's a plasmid? You know, and it's a vehicle for storing and studying DNA, and it has like three different markers on it. So I don't know. I guess the question I have, and this is really probably a very dumb question to ask, but just because we have DNA, does that mean that all life in the universe would have DNA? Is it something that's common to
everything? I would think so. Yeah, and if, I would
everything?
Think. Yeah, I would
that's
think
a
so.
Good question.
That's a good question. But I think anything that's has that's living would have some kind of DNA strand. I mean, that's. I mean, with my limited knowledge of the entire universe.
Damn it! You told me you had unlimited knowledge when I signed on with this show. God.
I said I was limited to this galaxy, not the whole, not the whole universe, just this galaxy.
Well, I'm coming from the whole idea of, I don't know, like Star Trek, which is
right.
So scientific, right? But you have different life forms. Might the source of life be different than what we call DNA?
That's,
might be
that's
something
true. That there's the possibility, similar. You know, like it's possible that because we're basically carbon formed life. Basically, so,
well, and that's yeah, and that's the common thing right. across the universe for the most part is carbon. Okay,
right? Yeah, exactly. Now, the possibility of there being life that is like say silicon based is slightly possible because they found evidence of it during of microbes and things living in like areas around places where life is basically inhospitable, like around very
oh,
hot
like
springs.
In the desert. That
right?
Okay. Yes.
Exactly. Okay. So there's. Or they around the vents around active volcanoes underwater,
right.
or vents.
It seems like it'd be totally inhospitable to.
Right. Yeah. But the fact of what life that we determine is life is still minor, a drop in the bucket by comparison to what we actually could know out there. So it's an interesting thing to do to learn.
This could set a new standard for measuring decontamination procedures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for things that come back, too. So, and of course, it's bacteria. Bacteria and rats and cockroaches are going to run the universe. So just get used to it.
After the nuclear bombs fall, there's nothing to be left but lawyers and cockroaches, which is pretty much the same thing.
Well, I'm going to say, what's the difference? Rats, bacteria, cockroaches, and lawyers.
Right. And some crazy people. Speaking of which, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Well, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box.
Jason Puckett, what a name, was slipping cow tongue into his pants. Not for thrill, but he was at Walmart and he decided, you know what, I think I'm going to go home with a little tongue. And it was
the
a cow tongue.
Story is so hot.
It is. It just this happened in Florida, of course, the colostomy bag of the United States. Thank you, Medusa.
Of course, it happened in Florida.
We should just name this. We should just rename this segment Florida. It's Florida. He denied slipping the $35 worth of beef tongue into his pants. Then he told a different tale. He took it out of his pants, put it back on the shelf or something. Then he took off, which he thought no one was watching him take it out of his pants because, you know, Walmart has security cameras everywhere. And if you don't believe me, go to any Walmart anywhere, look up. You see those little black orbs up there? Those aren't there because the ceiling is too short. They're there because they've got cameras in every aisle.
Where do you think those people of Walmart photos come from, people?
Exactly. They're not just from the people on the street level. Those people are from the cameras.
Are you saying big Walmart is watching us?
Yes. I am saying that.
Can steal their stuff.
And he was charged with a misdemeanor after the security guard spotted him slipping the two packages. It was not just one tongue. It was two. So he was probably going to have himself a tongue all the time. Joe,
definitely
your thoughts?
Can.
What's the bigger crime, stealing the cow tongues or charging $35 for two of them? My God, they should be giving those things away for free.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, this story, it's definitely hot. I mean, they had me at Walmart. The great finale is that he was sticking cow tongues in his pants. I'm just overwhelmed thinking about this. So I'm going to pass on to Connie.
I like the comment from Twitter here from the Taliban cat. He says, "We've all slipped cow tongue into our pants. Always buy the cow chocolates first."
Hey, why buy the tongue if the cow is free?
That's right. Thank you, Taliban cat. Connie, your thoughts.
He entered the Walmart, the meat he despised. The package was juicy. It caressed his thigh. Mount cow tongue.
I need a fan now. Woo!
It's amazing how many things people have tried to steal, you know, mostly from the Walmart. And I was trying to get sort of a countdown of a 12 days of Christmas thing, but I couldn't find something for 6. I have 7 lobster tails, 6, I don't know what, 5 ribeye steaks, 4 boils, 3 cream cheese, 2 cow tongue, and a $600 chainsaw. People try to hide it in their pants or under their seat of their disabled scooters.
Yeah.
Evidently, Walmart does not have really great low, low, low prices. I don't know.
Torvian said in the chat room, said, "I just searched for videos of this, and I found a videos of that said kids reacting to the taste of cow tongue for the first time." I don't know what that's going to... No, I've never tasted cow tongue. I mean, I've kissed a few... You well...
Finish that.
I'll... No.
It's supposed
those were in my early days. I was not always a straight arrow as I was today, you know. So, hey, I've kissed a few. No. actually, I've had real cows lick my face a couple times, but I don't quite cover that kissing. So
you know, I put my pants on just like everybody else, one leg at a time.
I wasn't referring to you, Joe.
And I got a fever, and the only antidote is more cow tongue.
Kudos for the second Peter Pan debacle reference to Christopher Walken there, Joe. Booyah. You are the
I can't do Christopher Walken. Not yet. I have to try to figure out his moves. So
and you're part eggplant. Three.
Did you have anything else, Connie?
Oh, no, just don't slip the tongue in Walmart, I guess. So
yeah, don't slip the... Yeah, if you're going to go to Walmart, don't slip in the tongue, you know. Just saying.
He could have just, like, you know, stuck his belly out and been like, "You want it back?"
Gotta reach in there.
But yeah, it's in my pants. What? I didn't leave the store yet. It's not stolen.
Right.
You going to sell it to someone else at this point?
Right.
Who the hell is going to pay $35 for a couple of cow tongues?
Yeah, not me. Damn. Not me. Anyway, speaking of money, if you would like to donate a dollar, I would greatly appreciate if you could donate a dollar at least once a month to patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. It would really help me out. It would help keep the show on the air and so many other things. And if you would like to get in contact with us, we're going to give you all that information right now.
You should contact us by email at ppapodcast or packardpokesat@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter as @packardpokesat and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/packardpokesat or just type packardpokesat into the Facebook search bar. Call or Google Voice at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727 and leave a short message and we will play it on the show. Join in the show live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. Download and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Mixler Radio, and watch the show on YouTube. Visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com for links to the stories and purchase merchandise from CafePress.com/PackardPokeSat to support the show. For everyone that rates us, You are awesome sauce.
And let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
On American TV, you see a lot of things on there. You'll see people kissing, hugging, pretend getting married. And for us, this is a normal everyday event. You know why? Because it's based on real things. You know, people go out, they fall in love, they get married, pretend doctors, pretend lawyers, or whatever. Over in Pakistan, it's a Pakistani area. It's this woman, her name is Veena Malik. I'm probably mispronouncing her last name.
I think that's right.
Okay, thank you. She's been handed a 26-year-old. I bet she's happy. No, she's been handed a 26-year jail term by a Pakistani anti-terrorism court for malicious acts of blasphemy, which isn't a thing, because blasphemy isn't a thing. It's not real. All blasphemy is just people saying something that you don't personally like, and you can call that anything. Like, here in Wisconsin, when just before winter hits us, we have snow on the ground and nobody says snow, because if you do, it's blasphemy. You know, it's a kidding thing. No one actually takes it as actual blasphemy. That's just, you know, it's a joke. And blasphemy is a joke. However, to this particular woman, she is being charged with this malicious act of blasphemy. And what was this blasphemous crime? She was pretending in a wedding scene staged in a daytime broadcast show by GOTV and is based on the marriage of the Prophet Muhammad's daughter. Not the Prophet Muhammad and his wife, but the little 8-year-old girl, you know, that he married.
His wife that was younger than his daughter?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
She was 7, yes.
Yeah, 7. Mm-hmm. You're right, 7. I'm sorry, 7 years old. And it was based on the Prophet Muhammad's daughter. Because of this Islamic country. Now, she plans on fighting this. She plans on going back to this area to fight these charges. And I said this at the staff meeting. I said, bitch, run.
Yes.
I would not necessarily call women bitches. And that's just a little humor right there. But the thing is, I'm just saying, run, lady, run. Don't look back. These people are crazy. They will lock you up. Now, however,
if she's lucky.
Yeah, if she's lucky. If she's lucky, they'll just lock her up.
Right.
If she gets the full treatment or whatever, they may put her to death. And it has happened before.
Yeah.
Now, she did say 26 years? Come on. 26 years is a lifetime. But I have faith in higher courts in Pakistan. Yeah. No. Don't have faith in the courts. I live in the United States. We have a supposed free system here. I don't have faith in our courts. Don't have faith in those backward countries. Those countries are more backwards than us, and that's saying something. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, as Ben Affleck says, this is just racist and gross. There was outrage that she was blasphemous, even mm-hmm. though the TV station had done broadcasts like this in the past.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was very similar to things that they've done before, so there's a lot of confusion as to why people are suddenly upset about this particular broadcast.
Right.
I watched the video of it. It didn't look very offensive. I mean, she was just sitting there, you know. It wasn't really great acting, you know. She was just sort of sitting there, and people were walking around her and doing things and stuff. But yeah, 26 years in prison for that? Like,
yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And they didn't even get her on blasphemy. They got her on terrorism.
Yeah.
She's a terrorist
yeah.
for being an actress in a daytime TV show. That's just oh, shocking.
God. Yeah. Because, you know, in those marriage TV shows, people go after people with hatchets and they threaten America or this other country. No, they don't do right. that.
Meanwhile, in downtown Baghdad, they're like, terrorism.
Terrorism, that happens every day out here on the street.
In Baghdad, they're like, bitch, please. I couldn't resist. I had to jump on the B-word bandwagon. Since
right.
We're defaming women.
Yeah. Well, I use that in the
affectionately.
I was saying that in an affectionate manner. So,
it's a woman who's very strong and stands up for herself.
Right,
and she doesn't give it 3 snaps up.
There we go.
There you go. Yay! I'll take it as that.
Okay.
Stop talking about Dawkins' dog's girlfriend.
Oh, I didn't say that. I did not say that. Connie, did you have any additional thoughts?
You know, some suspect that the Pakistan military were behind the mock wedding to bid a wage, a blasphemy war against the broadcaster. So they evidently have their own conspiracy theory tinfoil hat people over there, too. So
yeah.
And it's the good to know that that's a human condition, right?
Yeah, and the UFOs are living down our street. You know.
I know. You know, what I really did love about this is I found out that Vina Malik is considered quite an activist. Mm. And, she, you know, the importance of this, I believe this is a quote from her. I'm sorry I didn't source it in my notes. But, you know, the hurt feelings of Muslims, we need to curb this tendency of the Muslims to be butthurt, basically. That's my word, butthurt, about everything that happens. And she is hailed as one of the two newly public figures that might teach Muslims to stop feeling eternally outraged about things.
Right.
Her and a liberal whose last name is Darul. And she's considered one of the voices of liberal Muslims. Mm-hmm. She has a BA in sociology, psychology, and Persian language, too. Yeah. So she's not just a pretty face who acts on, they say daytime TV, I say soap opera.
Right.
But okay.
Same thing.
And so, yeah, this is crazy because people are confused. I think even over there, they say this isn't the first time
This
has happened. I am slightly confused because I did watch the video, which we will post in on the blog page.
It's packardpokesat.wordpress.com.
Sorry, I got to write that down. Anyway,
remember everything else but that show name title.
Another YouTuber, Potholer54, actually has the video that's in question.
Yeah.
And I believe that Vina Malik is the bride who's dressed in like pink and gold and everything. What happens in the video is that shoes are taken off.
Oh.
All right. And evidently having
naked
feet.
The horror!
Feet is
the shoes!
It's tantamount to having naked boobs or something or uncovered head. I don't know.
Oh. It's upset about the skin exposure?
It's all about the skin.
And it seems like it's like mocking, and so because it's mocking Muhammad's daughter, because they're singing the song in praise. I apologize. I know Christianity. I know diddly squat about Islam, but it's a religion trying to make their leader more holy, and being offended by things that when you question them or you're critical of them or you're just like casual about them. Mm-hmm. So. You know,
there's a Dawkins dog in the chat room who said, here a comedian took a piss out of a Jesus in a series of sketches. She didn't get a death threats from the Christians or prosecuted for blasphemy, which is, you know, that's really interesting because Christians will often say this vehemently. They will say, well, you know, you making Jesus shit on people, whatever. Like if you've ever seen that South Park episode with Muhammad, they make sure they have Muhammad all covered up. But, you know, Jesus comes out and he's shitting all over everything. And it's like, oh, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, we've got to cover up the Muhammad because we know that the Muslims are going to riot and do all kinds of nasty things to us if they don't. And they have a history of that. So because they have a history of that, is for them to say it's a religion of peace doesn't really wash with me all that much.
No.
A religion of peas?
Yes, it's a religion of peas. You know, the little green things that you find in your salad once in a while.
Wait, keys or peas?
Peas.
I fell on my keys.
It's a religion of keys. It's a religion of keys. Keyboards all belong to Muhammad.
All hail to Muhammad.
Oh, hail the keys of Muhammad.
Well, you know, you made fun of the Prophet Muhammad's daughter, and I think that's racist and gross. The world's worst walking impression right there.
Needs more cowbell.
Don't lose that. So bad.
The Taliban cat said Muhammad didn't have feet.
Well, that's true. That's in the Quran.
That is in the Quran. Yeah, it says he didn't have
feet. That's why he had the flying carpet. That's... He flew place to place.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he went from place to place.
I'm not making that up. He had a flying carpet and he flew from place to place.
Shining, Dawkins, shimmering, splendid.
Dawkins dug in the chat room. What's Muhammad's favorite meat? Islam. Islam.
Islam.
Islam. Islam.
That's pretty funny.
Bite your tongue.
I can't. The guy is from Walmart already took it.
comic.
We know Connie mentioned that she was an activist, or she is an activist.
Right.
So it makes me wonder if this was even politically motivated.
It might be. Who knows? I mean, we don't know.
They were doing
this
shit on TV before, and then all of a sudden it's a problem.
Yeah.
So like, you know,
that's a really good point.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a good point. If she was
making
an activist, they want to go after
her. Example of her?
Yeah. And to show all the other activists out there, don't say anything. Otherwise, we're going to come down with the full weight of the government behind us to persecute you.
Well, now I want to support her all the more.
Yeah, me too, as well. So it's very strange. We don't know everything, but that's something we'll have to wait and find out what happens. But I hope that she does not go back there. I mean, she should not go back there. In my opinion, she shouldn't go back there. By the way, just for people who are wondering, order to pay a fine of 3 million rupees, which is only about £8,000 British, or roughly $12,463.99 in Americans. So if you have an extra 12 grand laying around, you know, you can donate it to Packard Poke Set, which I'd be happy to do. I'll be happy to take it off your hands and apply it to, you know, the things I need to take care of. Or you can give it to this woman so she can pay her fine and be done with it, and so she doesn't go to jail for 26 years. So,
you should give her your smart car.
Well, I would, but my smart car's in the shop right now because it was rammed from behind in a car accident. So didn't want to mention that on the show, but hey, there it is. So anyway.
Hey, you brought it up.
Yes, I did. I brought it up. It's my fault. Speaking of things that are caused by physics, let's get to our next topic for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
And on tonight's Did You Know They're an Atheist, we're going to be talking about a physicist who has passed on, but since we were kind of talking about physics a few moments ago because, you know, car accident and everything like that, because that's basic physics. Richard Phillips Feynman, born 1918 and died in 1988. He was a physicist with a long and distinguished career from the Manhattan Project to quantum field theory to investigate the Challenger space shuttle disaster. He shared the 1965 Nobel Prize in Physics for his work in quantum electrodynamics and the quantum mechanical theory of the electromagnetic field. No, that is not, as they say in Star Trek, technobabble. Those are actual things. He says in Dennis Bryan, 2008, The Voice of the Genius, Conversations with Nobel Scientists and Other Luminaries, Basic Books, page 49. There'll be a link at packardpokes@.wordpress.com so you can get the ISBN number so you can check it out at your local library. Interviewer, do you call yourself an agnostic or an atheist? Feynman, an atheist. An agnostic for me would be trying to weasel out and sound a little nicer than I am about this, period. So right there, he says that he's an atheist. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Richard Feynman, he's like one of those epic scientists who was involved in so many things throughout his career. He invented the tricorder. He didn't invent, but he perfected the flying car, and he also helped design the cage that held King Kong. And looking at his page on Celeb Atheists, I'm impressed with these quotes. I mean, he says, "I'm an avowed atheist. I thought nature itself was so interesting that I didn't want it to distort it by miracle stories." Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the kind of quote that comes from a lot of people who dedicate their lives to science. They get into the nature of reality, and they just sort of, like, after a while, dismiss the non-reality stuff, the fairy tales, you know?
Yes.
And so I'm looking forward to converting some of these quotes into memes, because these are awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
And you should invest in a flying car, Packard, because I hear those smart cars, they're kind of grounded.
Think of what you could have done in that collision yesterday if it could have flown.
You could have hit the Z-axis button and just gotten out of the way.
Yeah, well, if I had known, then I would have. You know, I would have taken off in a whole other direction. So that's why they call it accidents, because you don't know what's going to happen. So
right. And in Khan's flying car, he didn't know what the Z-axis button did.
Right. he just pulled it out and thought it was a big banana and tried to eat it. So, you know.
Right.
Oh, God.
Connie, your thoughts.
Oh, I love Feynman. There's a few YouTube channels that I think Concordance might be one of them, who use some of his works. And mm-hmm. they made videos using his books or his narrations. A very wonderful, wonderful man. Evidently, he assisted in the development of the atomic bomb in World War II, like a
wow.
lot of scientists did. And he introduced the concept of nanotechnology.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to watch a movie, there was a movie named Infinity, came out in 1996, directed and starring Matthew Broderick and as Feynman, and also, I can't think of the gal's name, I'm sorry. I can't think of his co-star. It's about him and his first wife, who mm-hmm. was like the big love of his life.
Okay.
I love him. He's kind of like Sagan. Too. If you listen to him, he has this almost this Mr. Rogers kind of a presentation. It's very, very approachable, very funny. Every photo I've ever seen of Feynman, he's always smiling.
Boys
and
girls,
just a really intelligent man. So,
boys and girls, see, I'm going to take my shoes off, and we're going to talk about particle physics right now.
No. That's not what he sounded like, Packard. He sounded like billions and billions of flying cars.
I wish I understood half of what he's credited with, quantum electrodynamics mm-hmm. and the formation of quantum mechanics. It's just like, you
so,
know.
So does the other 99.999% of the human race.
I know. But, oh, God.
Quantum what?
Quantum what? Quantum dynamics? I ain't that dynamic. I can only move in so many positions. I got
How
two racing positions.
Help me!
I got two positions on and off, and that's it. So.
Well, I guess he's proof of evolution, right?
Right. I believe
this is a really exciting story.
You have a link for that video. If we'll have it at PackardPokes@wordpress.com.
Yes, I will make sure that's in. That's in there, yes.
Yes, very good. Anyway, give Richard Feynman a look. Feynman? I pronounce that right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Feynman.
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 Yeah,
F-E-Y-N-M-A-N.
Right.
Feynman.
Yes.
Right. I may have mispronounced it a couple times during the staff meeting, so I was trying to make sure I was right. So,
we give you a kiss.
You only said Feynman once.
Yeah.
which is not correct.
But I get corrected.
That was his evil cousin, Feynman.
Right. That was the guy that lived in the trailer park, you know. So,
so I will confound the flying car every turn.
Right. Actually, his evil twin is the one that came up with the idea for crack. So hey, you know.
Weenie man away.
Anyway, we got to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for coming, and we'll be back next week with our regular longer show. This has been episode 202. We'll be back next week with 204, and we'll see you then. This has been Packard Pokes at We Just Poked at Your News.
And that's a wrap.